Brother Carl McMahon, would you open us up in prayer this morning? Amen. Please remain standing and turn to page 180. 180, bring them in. Hark to the shepherd's voice I hear out in the desert, dark and drear. Page 180, bring them in.
Hark to the shepherd's voice I hear out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away.
This time, we're going to have a special by some three young ladies.
Thank you. Beautiful. Give God the glory. God gave himself for each and every one of us. Aren't you glad God just doesn't love all of us? He loves each and every one of us. And he gave himself for us. Tonight, announcements. Tonight and tonight only, 2018. Hey, there they are. Would you raise your hands, please? Those are the Wills, and the Wills are going to be singing tonight. Where's Landon?
He had to stay home. He had ear surgery.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, so my sister
stayed
home with him.
Okay. Yeah. We'll pray for him. He gets better. Well, we're glad to have the Wills here. They're we'll be singing tonight the whole service. Except for the offering. No, they'll be here. And then we're going to have a root beer floats in that afterward. And Orange, I think she's got Coke also. So we got all kinds of stuff going on tonight. We're glad that the Wills made it here safe and sound. And we have some visitors from Boise, Will and Jessica. And they're over on the side there. And say hi to them. And we got Kate's, yeah. I was going to go for two syllables, but there's only one. The Kate's, we got the Kate's with us. And we all the way from France, we have Mrs. Bowie. Ah, there you go. I'm a quick study. Boy, it only takes me about 3 weeks. I'll get it right, so cool. And then, but we're glad everybody's here today with us. And so we do have the Wills family tonight, and then the root beer floats, and then tomorrow senior camp, all week long senior camp. So I will be, we get service up there at Spotty, but I'll more or less be I'll be available on the phone, but unavailable in person. So, and then next Sunday we have Brother Amos Moses, our missionary to India. Him and his family will be here. And then next Sunday also is a church picnic, big church picnic. And then I'll be at Kennedy Park. And we got the two grillers, Mr. Patrick Williams and then Mr. Steve LaPrame. Anyways, what's that? Oh, I think he's downstairs. Anyway, so be sure and thank those two guys for doing the grilling and that. And so that'll be next week. And then we're going to take a special offering for Brother Amos Moses while he's here next week. Once again, he's had to come home from the field, and he's going to be involved with a different ministry here in the United States, America. But so we will no longer be able to support him as a church plant. But we wanted to help him out as much as we could. And we will continue to support him during the transition till he finds another man to fill his place there in India. And then we got the Information Ladies Retreat here. And in the foyer there, Lori's got the table and the sign-up sheet for the Ladies Retreat out there. So anyways, that's the Ladies Retreat. And we've got root beer floats to follow here. So anyway, that's about it. Thank you for being here. We're looking forward to a great day.
All right. Right before we have our next song, we have a couple of testimonies about the ladies' retreat.
Hi, I'm Juanita, and this time of year in August, we start coming up and doing some testimonies about last year's and the years before ladies' retreat, because there's a few of you here who haven't been able to go. So you might be wondering, what's this ladies' retreat all about? And the true knit and grit is on the picture board out there that I just put up. You're going to see how much fun we have. You're going to see the beauty of the place where we go. It's Hungry Horse. It's by Glacier. God's country is just beautiful. You'll see the salad bar, picture of the salad bar. But as you hear these testimonies, some of you might be thinking, well, I can't go, and you're going to think of these excuses in your heads. And I know this because I do it myself, because life is busy, and gosh, I can't take 3 days out for myself. But you can and you should. Your family needs you to. They want you to. It's so much fun. If you're, you know, kind of leery of going because you don't know the ladies here very well, this is the way to get to know them, really get to know them. And what goes on at Ladies' Treat usually stays there for the most part. But we just have so much fun. And the facility we go to now, we were first year last year there. It's like a hotel. Everything we do is inside one building. So it's not like kids camp where you're trooping through the forest. It's all in one building. The menu is delicious. It's great. It's so much fun. A little change this year. Usually we take a bus up and Pastor drives us up and then he comes back and then he turns around 2 days later to come get us. Well, this year we're going to change it up a little and we're going to carpool because many of us have vans that fit 6, 7, 8 people. So on the sign up board, you're going to see a column that says need a ride or driving. And if you're not sure, that's okay. Check it later. But if you need a ride, check it. And we're going to have plenty of seats. So it's going to be fun carpooling. We'll probably caravan the whole way there. The other nice thing about that is because we are up by Glacier and we're by so many beautiful things up there, we changed the agenda a little. We used to play games, outdoor games and some stuff during the day. And this time we're going to have some free time for you to go check it all out. You can go shopping. You can go check out Glacier if you wanted to. Lots of tourist places around there. So you'll have time for that. And most importantly, bring extra cash because they got a latte station. So that's my favorite right there. And the preaching, Miss Sarah Allison's going to be doing it this year. I'm looking forward to hearing what she has for us. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And whoever's gone to a ladies' retreat in the past, can you raise your hand? If you haven't gone, look around and look at these hands. This is who you can go talk to if you have any questions. If you're wondering, if you've got questions, you're not sure if you want to go talk to them. They'll convince you. So, thank you.
Okay, on what Juanita said about what happens at ladies' retreat, stays at ladies' retreat, except for all the pictures she plasters on the board for the next year. That's true. So, but we have so much fun. And if honestly, I know there are faces in here that I've never seen at it before. And for some of you, it's, I don't like camping and I don't like cabins. That's not what this facility is. This one we found last year, it's a hotel. Every room has 2 queen beds in it. And a bathroom, so it's not even community bathroom. It's like being in a hotel, and it's such a nice facility, and the food, as Juanita said, is awesome. The cooks, oh, it's wonderful food, and we have such a good time. And the messages are always wonderful messages for the heart. And I just want to tell you, I have a daughter in Billings who went last year for the, it was her second time, but it had been a few years since she had gone, and she was a brand new mama with a 2-month-old baby that she brought with her, and it was quite an experience because the baby cried a lot. But my daughter found new friends, and she just walked out the one that I was going to talk about. But she remembers Lily's story and how she helped her with the baby. She remembers Vicky and some of the advice that she got from her. She made some new friends who helped her with this brand new mama thing. And this year, I was hoping she'd want to go, but I don't want to be pushy. You know, she's young, and some of the younger ones think, oh, that ladies' retreat stuff is for the old ladies, like me. But I didn't want to be pushy, and I just thought, I'm just going to text her the dates and say, hey, I'd love to have you come if you decide you want to come this year, and then I'm going to just cut it off, not say anything else, because I try to get in the way often, and I try to do what I think God should do and do it the way I think it should be done. And I get too pushy, and I thought, I'm just going to give her the dates and let it go at that. And while I was at junior camp, while I was having showers of blessings, God found a way to bless me. with an extra one because I got a text message from my daughter who I had just given her the dates and left it alone. And I got a text message and she said, guess what? I got the days off. I get to go to ladies' retreat. And she said, I'm so excited. I need this so bad. And that was the blessing I needed. I get to have my daughter there again this year. And it's that kind of fun that someone who isn't even, she's not a churchgoer, someone in her position would look forward to this ladies' retreat and know it's what she needs, know that it's what her heart needs, know that it's the days of relaxation, messages, good meals, beautiful music, and she knows that it's what she needs. And so if you're considering it, or even if you're not considering it, I want you to consider it. And the fees, the costs for the retreat are, if you're going to share a bed, you can share a queen bed if you have, you know, a close friend or relatives or someone that you're okay with that. You can share a queen bed, and if you share a queen bed, your cost is $80 per person. If you want a queen bed to yourself, so you're going to just share the room with one other person, it's $115. And if you think about it, for $115, that's two nights, 3 days of meals, wonderful messages, and fun, and you get to make some new friends, and you can't beat that for the price. So if you're considering it, talk to me about it, and we would just love to have you.
All right, would you please join me and stand once again? Grab a hymnal, turn to page 253. 253, meet me there on the happy golden shore where the faithful part no more. Page 253, meet me there. On the happy golden shore where the faithful part no more, where the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. Where the night is melted away into pure and perfect day. We'll sing that second verse. When you reach the chorus, greet your neighbor with a handshake on the second. Here our fondest hopes are vain, dearest links are rent and twain, but in heaven no more of pain, meet me there. By the river sparkling bright in the city of delight, where our faith is lost in sight, meet me there. Your place, join me in the last verse of 253. Meet me there on the last, where the harps of angels ring and the blessed forever sing in the palace of the king. Meet me there, where in sweet communion blend, heart with heart and forever. Scott, would you ask the blessing on our offering this morning?
Lord, I thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, God, that you love us so much, God, that you provide us a way to be with you in eternity. I thank you so much for the provision and the jobs and finances, Father. I just pray that you would bless the tithe that it would go to be a blessing to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning.
How great thou art. Don't know quite where to start this morning, but the message is on salt. Salt. We got iodized salt today. They put iodine in the salt to keep the goiter down, which is a swelling of the thyroid gland. So, what does they say? Worldwide, over 90% of the goiter cases are caused by iodine deficiency. So, they put iodine in the salt. Kosher salt. Kosher salt's that flat little salt. And so, when it goes on the meat, it can soak up all the blood out of the meat. There's more surface area. Pickling salt. I think I found out the reason why my sauerkraut, rather than going sour, it smells funny. You know, sauerkraut smells sweet. It's a sweet. But, you know, and I'd like to blame my mom, but I didn't listen. And so, because I just put a teaspoon of, you know, grate the cabbage and slam it down in the jars, quart jars, and then put a teaspoon of salt in there, and then let it sour. Well, if I'd been using regular salt, should be using pickling salt, because I had no idea the different things in salt that are in there to keep it from caking so that you can shake it out without getting lumpy. So, you have pickling salt, which has no anti-caking stuff in there. I'm going to try it this year with the pickling salt rather than regular salt. You know what I'm talking about then, Mrs. Sarah. It's sort of a rotten rather than sour. It's a rotten deal. Yeah, and then that's what I give away for Christmas. I keep the good stuff for me. No, I give away other stuff. Salt was pretty important way back when. Salt was pretty important in the Old Testament. In fact, salt was very, very, shall we say, precious in the ancient world. And because it was precious, not only precious, but it was a way of making a contract. Rather than signing your name on the dotted line, remember a man's word. You know, there's a lot of kings, wicked kings in the Old Testament, and wicked. But you got to give credit where credit is due. They kept their word. You follow me? They kept their word. The king's word was law. And they didn't go back on their word. We think of Darius with Daniel. He couldn't go back on his word, even though he loved Daniel. But he prayed to God that God would deliver him out of the den of lions. They had a salt of covenant. We see the first. We'll get to prayer here in a little bit, but this is all sort of introductory here. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. In every oblation, that is anything that come near the altar, and this is speaking of the sacrifices in the law, every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from any meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. We see a salt of a covenant occurring a second time in Numbers 18, verse 19. All the heave offerings, a heave offering is when the priest would take it and heave it. A wave offering when he'd take it and wave it. So this is a heave offering unto the Lord. It says here, a heave offerings of the holy things which children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and thy seed with thee. This is with reference to the establishment of the Aaronic priesthood for the law. We see a third occurrence of the covenant of salt. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5. Should you know not that the Lord God of Israel gave dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons by a covenant of salt? Talks about the establishment of the Davidic dynasty. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ, the Son of David, will be seated on the throne of his father David forever in Jerusalem. Salt's used different ways in the Bible. We're going to look at today how salt is a picture of our Savior. Salt is a picture of our soul. Salt is applied to the saint. And salt of the earth, a symbol of the believer's purpose. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask to please be with us, cleanse our hearts, Lord. We ask forgiveness of sins. Lord, I pray that our sins not inhibit your word to come into our heart in any way, impede what you'd have for us. Lord, I pray if there's someone here who's not saved, that they come to know you as Savior, trust you as Savior, and ask you for forgiveness of sins, even in their mind or under their breath or whatever the case may be. If they finally get tired of fighting it and say, "Dear God, I trust you as my Savior. Please forgive me of my sin." For those of us who know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that we become better salt shakers. We become more usable for you. And that we see the need to become usable. And that you'd have us to serve you and to serve others and share the gospel. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we go up to salt of the covenant here, these first three verses in the Old Testament. We see salt as a picture of the Savior. Not savor, even though we're talking about salt, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior. For there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, and it's Jesus Christ. It's not in a church, it's not in a man, it's not in ceremonies, it's not in rituals, it's not in cults, it's not in crystals, it's not in cathedrals. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, only through Jesus Christ. And he's the salt is the picture of our Savior. It says here in Leviticus chapter 2, we'll reread it, and every oblation, every that's offering to the altar of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Salt is absolutely necessary. As a picture of the Savior, salt is necessary, and our Savior is absolutely necessary. Why? John chapter 3, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even so must, not should be, not could be, not will be, but must be lifted up. The only way to salvation is that Jesus Christ dying for our sins, being hung on a cruel, nailed to a cruel cross, and must be lifted up. As salt is necessary in the offerings, Jesus Christ is necessary and must have died and been buried for 3 days and three nights, yea, rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures and defeated death. Why? Because our Jesus has eternal life. He is eternal life, and he defeated death. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Not only is salt as a picture of our Savior was necessary, but it was offered. Offered. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Jesus Christ offered himself willingly. Nobody forced our Lord Jesus to die for each and every one of us. He offered himself willingly. And he took on the penalty of sin in our stead, in our place, because his will in our lives is that we be saved first. God is not willing that any should perish, but all have eternal life. I like this one too when it comes to salt. Not only was salt necessary in the covenant, but salt was offered. But you know what we use salt for? It makes things taste good. It reminds us of our Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, O taste, in other words, experience, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Our God is good. Our Jesus is good. And he wants us to experience him just like salt and taste and see that the Lord is good. And when we do trust Jesus Christ as Savior, when we come to a point in our life where we realize that we're sinners, for the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we realize that there's no possible way that we're good enough. Everything we do, let's say we do a good deed for somebody, but we might harbor some kind of bitterness. We may harbor some kind of unforgiveness. There's nothing we can do that can make up for our sin. The Bible says there is none that doeth, no, not one. And we know that. Deep down, we know we're not good. But when we finally let go of our goodness and trust Christ, and he takes that burden, he takes that burden of sin and guilt off our shoulders. He takes that burden of the fear of death off our shoulders. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, we're going to die. When he takes that away, the fear of death, we can certainly say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, because he is good to each and every one of us. I do beg you this morning, if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, it's not because you're in a Baptist church that you'll have eternal life. It's because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. You'll never regret that decision. Salt is a picture, we saw salt as a picture of our Savior. Salt is a picture of our soul. Salt was a valuable commodity. In fact, when you look up the root word there, the word salary. I like the word salary, right? We like the word salary. But it comes from the ancient word meaning salt money, referring to Roman soldiers' allowance for the purchase of salt. And we how oftentimes we say, well, the so-and-so is worth his salt. Salt is valuable. Salt was more valuable back then than it is now. But salt is a valuable commodity, and as a soul is precious. Salt is a picture of a soul. It's very valuable. That's why Christ died for our sins, because our souls are valuable. Salt is used to transform or cure and prepare for preservation. You know, when you make zucchini pickles or zucchini relish, what do? First, you grind all that stuff. Well, what I do is I grind it up and I throw it in big bags and freeze it. And then when winter comes, then I can put it on the wood stove. And put that before you put the stuff on the wood stove, what you do with the pickles in that, first of all, you pour it in a big can and you put salt in it so it sucks the water out of the vegetation. It transforms that so it's not mushy. And so salt is used to transform, and just like the Word of God can dry up sin in a person's life. It's funny how when we get away from God, we get away from reading our Bible, how we're more prone to sin. How we're less sensitive to sin. How sin doesn't bother us as much as it did. And number one. And number two, I think more importantly, is that the time that we use, say, a half hour or 45 minutes a day reading the Bible, that's a half an hour, 45 minutes a day where we won't be tempted to sin. We'll be using our time more wisely with the Word of God. And so salt is used to transform and cure to dry. And as a picture of salt, the Word of God transforms our heart. Like the salt transforms the zucchini, the cucumbers take the water out. It changes the makeup. And the Holy Spirit can take out what's unnecessary, just like the salt sucking the water out of the zucchini and the cucumbers. Or the beets even. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, can suck out all that stuff that isn't important in our lives and transform us. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, things become new. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Just like brine, when you make brine, whether it be for fish or for vegetables or whatever, hey, the more salt you put in there, the stronger it is. The more concentration, the more of an effect it will have. And here's the deal: when we make, who's made brine before for that kind of stuff? It requires a little work, doesn't it? The salt just doesn't jump in there by itself. The water just doesn't jump into that 5-gallon bucket, plastic bucket, or that crock by itself. It takes effort. And if we want the Holy Spirit to transform our lives, it takes effort. And we want to change. Just like we want to make pickles or whatnot, we have to want to change in order for the Holy Ghost to do its job. How many times do we see people go to treatment? I've driven somebody to alcohol treatment 3 times. And they still come out an alcoholic. Why? It's not the treatment's fault. Because that individual, I am convinced, did not want to quit drinking. And if we want the Holy Spirit to transform, to change our hearts, we got to want to change. Allow the Word of God to take effect. Salt is applied to the saint also. Salt heals wounds. Salt heals wounds. I know the old thing, all that's like we're rubbing salt in the wound. Why would you rub salt in the wound? Because it heals wounds. You know, the best thing for ponies when they get a burn or something, rope burn, we always take bacon grease. Wipe the bacon grease on the wounds. And it's amazing, a day or two later, that you get a dried out scab-like deal on it, and it'll peel off, and there's new growth. New growth of skin underneath that. Bacon grease prevents infection and promotes new skin growth. Salt heals wounds. David cried out in Psalm chapter 6, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. But heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." Oh my goodness. If we want our wounds healed, if we want to be transformed, we have to want to do something about it and apply the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to our lives to be not only transformed and changed, but become healed. Every one of us has some kind of issue here. I got a multitude of issues. Like I said, growing up, I thought we had a normal family. Then you finally grow up and compare your family to other families. Oh, boy. My sister-in-law laughed and laughed and laughed. She said, "You thought your family was normal?" I said, "Yeah. We were the normalest family on the face of the earth." But I didn't figure out. I think I was probably about 43 or 44. Something's not quite ringing true here. Every one of us has issues, problems, hurts, wounds in our lives and need to be healed. Let God do it. Are you tired of trying to do it on your own? And let the Lord do it. Salt's picture of value of a soul. Salt's applied to the saints. Picture transforms us into obedient subjects. It heals our wounds. Holy Spirit heals our wounds. And salt of the earth, a symbol of the believer's purpose. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus says to his disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if salt lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, be trodden under the foot of men." You're the salt of the earth. Everyone here that knows Jesus Christ as Savior, that's called upon Jesus Christ, has trusted Jesus Christ, you are the salt of the earth. In the wintertime, what do we buy salt for? To melt ice. To melt ice. How many of us are more interested in proving our point, winning an argument, than we are in melting ice? It's a cold world out there, but along with that cold world comes the word hurting. There's a lot of hurting people out there. And we have a decision to make when we talk to people. Are we going to try and melt their hearts? Are we going to show them? Are we going to try and fight fire with fire? I know that's maybe a poor, but you know what? Sometimes we need to take the high road. Be the salt of the earth. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 reads, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Look at all the road rage incidents across the country. There's no, the word concession, I don't think, is in a lot of dictionaries these days. To concede. Is there anything wrong with conceding? A lot of times we're growed up with the impression that if we concede, that makes us weak. And not a man. Me, I'd rather concede any day of the week than to get punched in the nose. Salt is used to melt ice. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And what does reaping, putting coals of fire in one's head means? It means that sometimes when somebody mistreats us and lays us out and thrashes us, and we turn around and do something nice for them, their conscience gets a hold of them and they're ashamed. And then they turn red with shame. You heap coals upon their forehead if we're the salt of the earth. And we do nice things for people that intend to do us harm. And I know that's not taught in the world, and I know we're supposed to stick up for ourselves and all this kind of stuff, but you know what? We're dealing with something spiritual here. We're dealing with a soul that's valuable in the eyes of the Lord. Sometimes it's nice to concede. Sometimes it's nice to do something nice for someone. Not even out of vengeance, but just because it's the right thing to do, because we're told, we're commanded to do those things. Salt is used to melt ice. Salt is a preservative also, to prevent decay. You know, the Bible speaks in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about when the rapture comes and the believers are taken out of this earth, because the Holy Spirit dwells within the heart of the believer, that which is taken will be taken out, and that which letteth will let. So when the Holy Spirit's taken out, in the 7 years of tribulation, all hell's going to break loose, because there ain't going to be no Holy Spirit for a period of time. The Holy Spirit preserves. Also, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We're preserved until the day of redemption, till Jesus Christ comes and at the rapture meets us in the air, and our bodies will become a new and glorified body, the day of redemption of our body. But in the meantime, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Salt of the earth, a preservative. It melts ice. But in order to be salt of the earth, every one of us should be salt of the earth that can name the name of Jesus Christ as Savior. But hello, when we eat a banana, now when I eat, I'll just use me, I can't speak for everybody else. When I eat a banana, the last thing I want to do is put salt on it. If we're going to be salt of the earth, we have to look for the right time and ask God to guide us in wisdom. Salt is used to season. It's used to make things better tasting. Now, when it comes to a hard-boiled egg, I'll put salt on it, and lots of salt on it, any day of the week, because it's the right time and the right amount. Doesn't vanilla smell good? I love the smell of vanilla. And when I was a kid, I thought, boy, I'm sure it tastes as good as it smelled. Ain't no way. Salt's good to a little bit, but you put a bunch of salt on something, it ain't good. So for the salt of the earth, we gotta be the salt of the earth at the right time and the right amount. Just enough to taste good. Too little salt has no effect. I've made many a casserole and thought I had it just right. You know, just, I'm not a measurer. I put about that much in, and we don't shake stuff. We pour stuff in the hand there. The wife, she measures stuff. I put half as much pepper as I do salt. So if I get that much salt, I put half as much pepper. And that should be good enough, and the taste is still bland. It's not enough salt. And the Lord's called us to be the salt of the earth. We've got to be salty and not bland. The right amount, too little has no effect, but too much spoils the taste. Salt must be used carefully in moderation, a little bit at a time, until it's just right. But not, you can't take salt out of a casserole, but you can add salt. Is that, for you cooks in here. Is that not true? But how many times have we been around somebody and we've been too salty? And we get in the middle of a conversation and we can't back out because we've been too salty. We've not used wisdom with the right amount or the right time. And you know what? When we become too salty, we make people mad. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I've made people mad because I've not used wisdom. I was too salty, or maybe it was the wrong time. Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. We want to leave a good taste in people's mouths. If we're too salty, we make them mad. If we're not salty enough, we still don't leave a good taste in people's mouths. You know, one thing, the two funeral homes in town call me when there's no one to do a funeral. They call me, and it's not because of me. You know why? It's because of the message. Because the Bible provides a message of hope. When we can be salt in that manner. It's not an empty funeral. There's always hope. Even when someone's not saved, I still give eternal life and give the message of hope, of salvation. But not too much. Here's the deal. When we become too salty, it makes each other mad as brothers and sisters. We don't have to be completely negative or critical about one another. If we're supposed to speak the truth and love to our lost brothers and sisters and have the right amount of salt, then why can we not do that with each other? It's easy to find something wrong with somebody and their lives and the way they do things, is it not? It's easy. But it's sure more, it's a lot difficult to find something good in people's lives. I don't know why, because we're so negative. And so we can apply, oh, I can't believe they did that. You know, the Bible says this. And why did you do that? And the way they're raising their kids, oh my goodness, we've become too salty. And we think we're going to get punched in the nose by the lost world. We make each other mad. Maybe we should just season with a little bit of salt and use something different about the Word of God. Maybe comfort one another. Maybe pray for one another when we see something amiss in one another family's lives. And care about one another. And use a soft answer. Be available for one another. But oh my, we could all day write we could buy a tablet. I'm not talking that 8.5 by 11. I'm talking about the 8.5 by 14 tablet. And we could sit for days and pick about the people in that row and that row and that. And we could fill that tablet. And if someone gave us a little 3x5 card about something good in someone's life, we'd be scratching our heads for hours. Isn't this sad? What have we become? We've certainly not become the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, be trodden under the foot of man. Lost his savor. In other words, a symbol of righteousness. The salt that lost its savor was impure. It was mingled with vegetable matter because they didn't A lot of times it was in, like an alkali patch. You know, when you drive in eastern Montana, you see an alkali patch. It's mixed with vegetation. A lot of times salt was the same way, and they dig it up, but it was mixed up with all that stuff. You let it sit with a bunch of moisture or water get through it, and all of a sudden that salt leaches out, and what do you have left? Earth. Dirt. The salt has lost its savor. In other words, all that's left is earthly or worldly or worldly. A disciple of Jesus Christ who has assaulted the earth and lost his savor is a worldly Christian. A worldly believer. A Christian means Christ-like, but a worldly believer. And all that remains, Jesus says, is that earth, the earthly part, only to be cast out and trodden under men. If we've lost our savor, we lose our ability to impede sin and keep it in check, and we've lost our ability to be a witness unto Jesus Christ. We talked about eggs. We like salt on our... How many like salt on your boiled eggs? Yeah. Wouldn't it be something if the salt lost its savor and we sprinkled dirt on our boiled eggs? And that's what it would be. That's what it is like when a worldly Christian tries to witness to his neighbor. It's like shaking dirt on a boiled egg. It makes them grit their teeth because they know who we are. And what we become is we become not useful to God. We're still saved, praise God. Eternal life is eternal life, but we've lost our usefulness. We cannot reach our neighbors, our family members like we once could because we've lost our savor. And a ruined testimony is only good for one thing: to be cast out and trodden under men. And believe you me, our neighbors will trod us under their foot. That lost testimony. Because you know why? They're just like us. We're all the same. The word charlatan, fraud, hypocrite, thieves. You see that all over the internet about prominent Christians, prominent preachers who've lost their witness, who've lost their testimony. And we're not immune to that. Ye are the salt of the earth. We got to salt, use it the right amount at the right time. We must have the properties of salt because we are the spiritual salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth, but the salt lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. We're going to have an invitation this morning. We looked at the salt of the covenant, which is never explicitly defined in the Bible. We know what happened. We know what it was, what it entailed. And we know from the salt of the covenant that salt is precious and a soul is precious and valuable in the sight of God. And the salt of the covenant, it's an agreement. It's a binding agreement. God keeps His promises. God says that if you call, but God says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, all whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that hasn't changed. Because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchangeable. And God also says that if we sin and confess our sin, He is good and faithful to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That hasn't changed. Because God hasn't changed. Maybe we've got sin in our life. Maybe we've become unsavory. Only good to be cast out and trodden under men. Maybe we need to get it taken care of this morning. Maybe we need to ask God for wisdom this morning. Maybe we become too salty. Ask God to give us the wisdom. Pray about the right time and just the right amount of salt that we can leave a good taste in people's mouths about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe we've lost our savor. All we got left is earth because we're living a worldly life. And maybe we're just leaving grit in people's teeth. Oh my goodness, I hope that's not the case. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Won't you stand this morning? Which one? 394. 394 this morning. Isn't God good? Wow. You know, we're talking about the right amount and the right time and all, and God's always got the right time, just the right amount. You can't outdo God. He's so good to us. And he tries us sometimes, and we get in a pickle, and we know where to turn, but we don't turn fast enough to Him. And He's right there. He makes things more better. God's good.